So no matter how gifted or successful we are, let us resist the temptation to seek glory for ourselves. Amen. Let us make sure that everything we are and have, that we realize we owe to Him, and let us give Him the glory.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching, the timeless Word of God, will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, Pastor Brian Grant explored the question, why did God make you? And how it is that without understanding our created purpose, it is impossible to understand the meaning of life and why it is that God has put us here. Pastor Grant left us with the warning that when men and women seek their own glory rather than the glory of God, they are placing themselves in bad company. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant continues with the second part of that message taken from Acts chapter 12. Here's Pastor Grant.
But you know, our text in Acts chapter 12 tells us that after Peter's miraculous escape, King Herod left Jerusalem for his palace in Caesarea. And this was a magnificent palace. Some of us who went to Israel a couple of years ago, we visited the ruins, and there's still a whole lot to see there in Caesarea. Caesar's magnificent palace on the Mediterranean Sea, and it actually sits right into the sea. He has his own private harbor. He has his own auditorium. He has his own place for his horses. He has a place for all his horse races. He's got everything. This is living at its finest. Herod is a big boy. He's living high and mighty. He's powerful. He was one of the most powerful kings of the East at this time. And by the time we're talking about here, King Herod Agrippa, he's now as powerful and has as much territory as his grandfather, Herod the Great. This is a big boy. And here in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verse 21, we read, on the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. The historian Josephus gives us more detail. And Josephus tells us that Herod entered the amphitheater wearing a robe, get this, made wholly of silver. Can you imagine this splendor? Herod appears in a robe of pure silver. And as he enters and the sun reflects off of the silver robe, it was dazzling in brilliance. And as he started to talk to the people, of course, he was dressed to impress. And by the time he started speaking in verse 22, the people went wild and they shouted in verse 22, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Herod wanted to get the glory, and he was getting it. He was just loving it. But you know, when we seek glory for ourselves, it puts us in some bad company. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14 tells us about another character who wanted the glory for himself. And my Bible says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." I'll get some of the glory. "You will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God." But you remember, you notice how it starts. "How are you fallen from heaven?" New York Life has a tagline, "The company you keep." You probably remember that. This is not the company I want to keep. And it's important that we realize that when we seek to get the glory for ourselves, it is important to realize the company we are keeping. We are companying with a man by the name of Lucifer, who says, I want some of the glory for myself. May God help us to give the glory to God. We were made to glorify Him. But you know, thirdly, there are consequences for failing to give God the glory. The Lord deserves glory, desires glory, and is due glory. But when we fail to give Him glory, there are consequences. Look here in Acts 12, verse 23. We read verse 22, where they shouted, "This is the voice of God, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give God the glory, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms. Now, you might not have a robe made wholly of silver, but the question is, are you giving God the glory in your life? Don't be too quick to say yes. You know why I say that? Because to be honest, as I challenge my own heart, I need to question my heart, is God really at the center of my universe? The reality is God is often not at the center of our universe. More often than not, everything is about us. Am I right about that? Even sin has been redefined. In fact, you listen to some preachers on TV these days and they'll point out to you that the problem, the primary or the only, for some of them, the only problem with sin is what it does to us. That it makes us miserable and causes us pain. That's the problem with sins. Of course, some don't even mention the word sin. I shared it to one preacher, very well-known preacher, and he made it clear on his national broadcast, he will never give a message about sin because nobody needs to hear about sin. It is too negative. But when God, listen, when God is at the center of our universe, we start understanding what Romans 3:23 is all about. Where in Romans 3:23 the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin also has a lot to do with the glory of God. We've missed the mark. Sin causes us to miss the standard. Sin is an affront to God's holiness. Until our sin problem is dealt with, we cannot give God the glory. And my friend, if you're here and you're a Christian, you know, sometimes we dibble dabble with sin. You need to realize that as long as you have unconfessed sin in your life, don't claim to be giving God the glory. But it could be I'm speaking to somebody here this morning and you have never come to Jesus. You have never had the pardon. You have never had your sins washed away. You need to know today that until you have your sin problem dealt with, you cannot be bringing glory to God. And the first thing you need to do is to come to the cross. Oh, I'm so glad that I can talk about the cross. I'm so glad that there is a cross, because the cross represents the remedy for our sin, where Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died and shed His blood that we can be cleansed. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you have never come, you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you this morning, so in a few minutes when we bring this message to a close, to say yes to Jesus. There are consequences, my friend, for failing to give God the glory. Don't miss that. As we pursue giving God the glory, it actually helps us to achieve our purpose. But God actually desires and deserves glory. Amen. And in this instance, His judgment was swift because Herod did not give Him the glory. But finally, let me share for you four ways to bring glory to God. There are obviously a number of ways to give God the glory. But how do you give glory to an all-sufficient, perfect, infinitely wise, infinitely powerful God? Can we talk about four ways before I sit down? Number one, we can give glory to God by praise and worship. By praise and worship. In 1 Chronicles 29, David gives us an excellent illustration. Turn your Bible there, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David gives an excellent illustration of glorifying God through praise and worship. And he says in verse 29, verse number 10, he said, David said, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And listen, this was the expression of a grateful heart. God, do you realize God is actually pleased when he hears these expressions from grateful hearts, where we're bigging him up and telling him how wonderful he is, how fantastic he is, how we love him. God loves these expressions from a grateful heart.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
If someone makes you a wonderful meal and serves it to you, how do you glorify the excellence of the meal? Not glorifying the person, but glorifying the excellence of the meal. You don't rush off to the kitchen and try to add a few more spices and some extra ingredients. If this meal was so great, you don't rush off and try and fix it. We just had some good meals, I tell you, on the vacation. But listen, what do you do? If I gained a few pounds, you will realize why. I just sat there. Thanks. It's amazing. The expression of a grateful heart. There's nothing that can be added to what God has done for us. Are you excited this morning about what God has done for you? And the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Amen. "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise Him." John Piper said it very well. He says, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him." Oh, I hope you don't miss that one. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Are you satisfied with Jesus? You know, sometimes we might say quickly, "Yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus." But if we're not careful, and when we get home, we say, "God, why did you allow this to happen in my life? Why did you allow that? God, how is it you didn't give me this? Lord, how is it that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so has that, and I don't have that? God, what type of deal you're playing here with me?" Are you satisfied with Jesus? And if you're satisfied with Him, listen, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And we can give the expression of a grateful heart. But second, we can worship God by a lifestyle that speaks well of Christ. We know that verse, Matthew 5:16, you need not look there. Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They can glorify your Father in heaven because they're seeing your good works. Listen, a lifestyle that speaks well of Christ. Does your life speak well of Christ? Do the folks who know you know that you belong to Jesus? Or is it something you have to hide because your lifestyle ain't so? We glorify God through a lifestyle that speaks well of Christ. But third, we glorify God by keeping our temple clean. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's just read verses 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And here's what it said in verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Amen? We can actually glorify God with our body. And we do it, one of the ways we do it is by keeping our temple clean. Oh, I know verses like what we just read are falling in disfavor in Christian churches today, but it's still in our Bible and it should still challenge us. God wants us to do everything to the glory of God, and one of the ways we do everything to the glory of God is not only by our praise and worship, by a lifestyle that speaks well of Christ, but by keeping our temples clean. And finally, by giving. Listen to me good. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about, why did God make you? What have we said? We have said, God made you and God made me to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. We're talking about, how do we do that? Might I suggest that the main way we do it is by giving Him our heart. By giving God the seat of our emotions and our affections. You know, there's a man in the Bible we know so well, that David. David had many imperfections. David messed up pretty badly. But yet, David had a special relationship with God. Why? Guess why? Because David had a heart that was devoted to God. Are you with me this morning? David had a heart that was devoted to God. And God Himself said in Acts chapter 13, reminds us that God Himself said, I have found David to be a man after my own heart. And God goes on, I have found him to be a man after my own heart because he will do everything I want him to do. Wow! Psalm 51:10, we hear David saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. David had just messed up. When David said this, he had just messed up. He had messed up with Bathsheba. He had gone and committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had had her husband killed. David, the man after God's own heart, had done all sorts of stuff. But David came to God and he says, create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Give me a clean heart. My friend, this morning, as I bring this message to a close, I wonder if there are people who are willing to ask God for a clean heart. Oh, you may not be saved. Would you ask God for a clean heart? You might be a Christian, you have messed up. Would you ask God to give you a clean heart? Would you say, God, I want you to have my heart? I close with an illustration that I love. I haven't used it for a while, so let me use this illustration, which I love. The king came before his entire subjects. He was standing on the balcony, and perhaps a million of his subjects were below him. You know, it's like one of these pictures when you see Prince Andrew and his name is. You know who I'm talking about. But he's on the balcony, not kissing this time. But he's up there. The subjects are down there. And the king, as he speaks to his subjects, he says, "I have good news and I have bad news." He says, "Let me give you the bad news first." He said, "The bad news is the king has a bad heart. And it's going to cause him to die." And you could hear the groan through the crowd. They loved the king dearly. This was a great king, and they really loved him, and there was a great groan. But he said, "The good news, one of you will give me your heart, and the king will live and not die." And you could hear the chants from his people. They said, "Take my heart, take my heart." Oh, everybody loved the king, and they wanted him to. So the king held up a feather. As he stands on the balcony, he says, "I'm going to release this feather in the breeze." And he said, "Whoever shoulder the feather rests on, I will take their heart." And he released, he's on the balcony, he released the feather. The feather fluttered in the breeze. And it was way high up in the air. And as it was fluttering up in the air, people were shouting, "Take my heart! Take my heart!" Came lower, lower. "Take my heart!" Then it finally got to just about human level. And all of a sudden, you started hearing, "Take my... Take my..." The question, does God really have your heart? Or does He only have it when it's time to sing? But today, your purpose and my purpose is to bring glory to God. It really happens when He really, really has my heart.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.